Hello everyone, this is Will.
And this is Alex.
And welcome back to another episode of They Mostly Come Out at Night.
Mostly.
Action edition.
Oh, and such action.
Move out the way, James Bond.
Move out of the way, Ethan Hunt.
You know what? Jack Reacher, go fuck yourself. We got a new game in town.
Mike the Insurance Man.
Mike the Insurance Investigator. Up in the house, motherfucker, better than James Bond.
Does James Bond have a big fucking gun? No.
No, he has a little fucking gun.
He has a small fucking gun.
Yeah.
This man has a big fucking
gun. Does he ride around on a fucking taxi during a giant chase scene instead of an Aston Martin? No, I didn't think so.
He doesn't even drive it.
No, he just backseat drives. Yeah.
Yeah.
Through the whole chase scene.
He's a backseat driver. It's great. That's what you want.
Listen, Mike the Insurance Investigator is it's the international man of mystery.
And he's a sex machine.
He even has sex with the main villain.
Yes.
In a very weird way, but we'll get to that.
Are you saying that this movie has weird things?
This whole movie's weird.
Wow.
But I found myself kind of loving it, actually.
Oh, I loved it.
Oh, it was dumb, but it was so entertaining.
It goes places. It goes places you did not expect.
I don't know, like 1973 really started off on a good start so far. So we watched Wonder Women, Wonder Women from 1973.
Our first 1973 movie.
And man, what a way to start. This is a beautiful way to start.
Oh, yeah, Fortune is probably going to be all down here.
I mean, this is probably the best we're going to get.
But, yes, still, we finally watched something that was, like, pretty fucking entertaining.
I would say so, but, I mean, for the wrong reasons, but it was entertaining.
Wrong and right, but also, like, just, I don't know, it rides that line.
Which is weird, because I thought it would be incoherent from the beginning.
No,
and then it just totally fixes itself and then gets bonkers, and I love it.
Just kind of it takes a little while to drop the exposition on you.
Like the first 7 minutes are kind of hard to get through, and I didn't know what was going on. And then when it finally gets into its stride,
the first I'm 7 minutes are awesome.
No, they're not. Yes, well, I mean, it's just
we got to see women kidnapping random dudes,
and then naked women swimming in a pool.
Yes,
for no reason.
I mean, yeah. What else would you need in the opening of a movie, Will?
Now, the one thing I will say about this is, and maybe I'm wrong, but why call it Wonder Women?
Because sex. Sex appeal.
Yeah, but the women are evil in this movie.
So?
All of them.
So?
You think a movie called Wonder Women would have,
Do you think they thought about it that much?
I would hope so.
No.
They couldn't have called this, the Lair of Evil Women?
No.
Or something like women try and brain transplant. Oh, sorry, I'm getting too into the movie now. something like not making us think that the women are going to be the main. I mean, they were the main feature of this movie, but Wonder Women makes me think of protagonists.
Oh, David. Oh, Will. They're
women protagonists.
You weren't rooting for them?
No,
I was.
I was rooting for Mike, our insurance investigator.
Oh, no, Mike was trying to fuck up their game.
Oh, he fucked it up.
He was going to get in on their shenanigans, and I was just... That's unacceptable.
Well, here's the thing. He did get in on their shenanigans.
Yes.
Pretty fucking in the coolest way possible.
Yes. He got in on everyone's shenanigans.
Including the main villain's shenanigans.
Yeah, but she did that to herself. Little did she know. It would set off a chain reaction.
It's the definition of fucked around and got addicted. Alright, so I guess we should get into this movie. So like I said, the first 7 minutes, it's not really super important. It's just a bunch of
it's the most important.
It's a bunch of clips of them shooting these star athletes. So there's a swimmer.
There is a basketball player.
A basketball player.
A
golfer.
No, a horseback rider.
Horseback rider, yeah, they're doing polo.
Yeah, and a, what's that game?
Highlight.
Okay.
So it's, because they were in, Milan. right?
It's Manila.
Manila in the Philippines, yeah. That's right.
And
Manila in the Philippines, so like in the Philippines, Hi-Li is like this really popular game where you have these like giant scoop things and you throw a ball against a wall.
Yeah.
It's kind of like racquetball, but with like kind of like a, almost like a lacrosse.
Yeah.
Like a hard lacrosse thing.
Yeah. And so, there's all these women in very, very, very short shorts.
Oh, yeah.
Shooting men with darts and occasionally using kung fu.
Very bad kung fu.
Oh, the best kung fu.
But it gets worse.
Oh, it gets so much worse and
better.
I love it.
It was better for us because it makes the kung fu scene so much more awkward. It gets
even more over the top.
So, they go to this giant Hi-Li tournament, and there's these two guys, and there's this star Hi-Li player, right? And so he gets done with the tournament, and then is leaving, and like his driver gets shot.
Something happens to his driver, and these two. You think at first that it's these two men, and they're dressed like fucking 1940s gangsters.
Like, yeah, like secret agents or like these gangsters.
They're wearing like fedoras and like suits. Yeah.
So one gets in the car and the other, like a guard comes up and like tries to like, you know, point his shotgun at them. And the one of them shoots the guard.
So they get the athlete and they like put him in the back of the car or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then they drive off and they get like a hearse.
Yeah, they park somewhere and put like this like breathing mask on him.
Yeah. So I guess so he doesn't suffocate. So they put him in a coffin.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you find out that the two guys are actually two women in disguise. And we get a very awkward scene of them taking their clothes off in the car
and putting on like funeral clothes.
Yeah, but first we have to see them putting on like stockings and things like that, and it's hilarious because there's, like, no fucking room. They're in the back of a car.
Yeah, it's like they're awkwardly putting on these clothes.
Yeah, they're in the back of a car, small car, and they're trying to, like, extend their legs out all the way to make it look all sexy, like, oh, I'm putting on stockings, but they can't. There's, like, no fucking room.
It's supposed to be sexy, but it comes out really awkward.
Yeah, because there's no fucking room.
Yeah.
They're just in the back of a car, and they get into, like, a funeral outfit.
I mean,
outfit.
To be fair, they did pretty good for being in such confined space, because have you ever tried to change in the back of the car?
I mean, yes.
It's fucking hard.
Oh, it could have been worse. Believe me, everything in this movie, no matter how bad it got, it could have been worse.
It could have been worse, yes.
And we've seen worse.
So, they take him to this, like, lair where there's all this, like, weird, like, sci-fi shit going on.
And everyone's dressed in plastic.
They're all dressed in plastic. They almost look like if aliens were invading. Like,
not even.
You know?
Not even. I don't know how to explain this. They have, like, instead of, like, surgical masks, it's like a bag.
Yeah.
They have, like, one of those, like, not like the thin plastic, but, like, if you've ever seen those bags that are, like, thick plastic, where it's, like, really see-through?
Yeah.
They're just wearing that over their heads and their shoulders.
Well, they have, why? Like, this, like, plastic. Yeah, this, like, almost like the,
like shoulder guard?
I don't even know. Like, they look like lab coats, but they're like almost like a hard.
They're like supposed plastic. To be lab coats, but they're just wearing plastic.
Yeah.
Again, it's beautiful. They're wearing fucking plastic. And then there's like bodies that are literally wrapped in plastic.
Yeah.
Like you would wrap, I don't know, a piece of food. Apparently that's a theme with us. His body's being wrapped in, like, tinfoil or fucking plastic.
I mean, it's gonna have to be, because we've seen so many movies where they do that.
We can't escape it.
We can't. At least this one isn't tinfoil.
Thank fucking God. They got original.
But it has to be see-through, because the director really wants to show us dim titties.
Yes, and, like, every time there's a woman wrapped in plastic, she's topless.
Yeah, every single time. It's.
And I guess that was the reason why they wouldn't use tinfoil, is because you can't see through tinfoil, Will.
Yeah, exactly.
But you can see through plastic!
Exactly!
And you gotta get your titty quota filled.
They're saran wraps so you can see them naked.
Yeah, it's very classy. It's a classy production.
So, then they're talking about a lot, like, they're gonna get a lot of money for this Hi-Li
play. And that's when we start figuring out, like, the scheme, because at first they're just fucking confused.
They don't talk about it directly in the scene. They just kind of talk about how he's going to rake in a ton of money for him.
But they keep going over the donors.
Yeah, the donors and how they're going to make a lot of money from the donors because of this guy.
Yeah.
So we're like, okay, they're either harvesting organs or doing transplants.
Yeah.
So then we see Mike.
So an airplane lands, and it's with Mike. But I just want to mention this. It's there people going down, like, this ramp off the airplane, and the camera's, like, positioned upwards.
So you can see up every woman's
skirt. Every woman is wearing a skirt.
Yeah.
Going off... Yeah.
Of course.
Of course, what?
Of course.
It's... Yeah.
This movie's filthy.
Oh, it's fucking smut, but I love it.
Yeah.
And then we get Mike.
So a girl starts following Mike,
yeah, and too. Just little trivia. It's the same actor who was in Angel's Wild Women.
I would argue he's way better in this film.
Yes, he's significantly more coherent. You can
actually hear him.
You can hear him, and he, like, has emotion.
He's not...
Yeah. It's shocking. I guess he cared more about...
This is a movie to care about.
I mean, yeah, I would. I'd mumble through Angels of Light Women, but you give me this script, I'd be like, oh.
This is the best.
I'll do my best for you, baby.
So,
then he gets picked up.
He gets picked up by the... We've seen this actor We've before, seen him too.
Yeah. He was in Beast of the Yellow Knight playing the devil.
He was the devil.
And in this one, he's just a jolly taxi driver.
With a jacket that literally on the back of it says, I am a driver.
It's beautiful. I want that jacket.
Did
I am a driver.
Did they need that so they knew who he was in the movie?
I don't even give a shit.
Like, I am a driver.
That shit is so hilarious and adorable. I love it. I don't even give a shit what the reasoning was. He just has a jacket that says, I'm a driver. And he has a patch on the front that says, make love, not war.
Yeah, and so they...
It's like, okay.
He takes him, you know, he's in Manila, and so they take him...
To a hotel. And
then... It goes back to the island.
Oh, I want to say before it goes back to the island, they're talking and he says, the driver says a line, they're like, you know, oh, are you a fighter, not a lover? Then they go back and forth and the driver says, fight a little, love a little, good for the body. Hey. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's some real zingers in this.
Oh, it's beautiful. Then it goes back to the island and...
They're talking finances.
No, so we already talked about the scene.
No, because this is the scene where they're talking about, like, how much money, like, they're, like, the one weird guy is, like, going through all the folders of, like, all their donors.
That happened before. That happened before Mike landed. Because that's when we were introduced to Sid Haig, who's in the movie. And, yeah, they're talking about finances and how much money they're going to get for each donor.
Yeah.
And then, after this... You get to the... You see, like, them walking through these doors, and they wheel this old man in.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And it's a guy in bad old age makeup. Really bad. And he has, like, a breathing mask. And you find out that he wants, basically, to transplant his brain...
Into the highlight player.
The athlete's body.
Yeah.
Like, the whole scheme of these guys is they kidnap athletes.
And transplant body parts.
And rich old fucks who are about to die are paying them, like, $500,000 to transplant their brains into these bodies.
Mm-hmm.
So, yet again, we get a transplant movie, but praise fucking Jesus. The transplants are kept to a minimal.
I don't think there's... A single transplant in this movie.
We which see, is like, good. Some operations.
That's just the scheme. That's the evil person's scheme.
That's the reason.
Making tons of money off of rich people donating, like, you know, transplanting body parts.
Then they get done with that, and it cuts back to the Wonder Women. And they're, like, hanging out in this room, and one of them is, for no reason, is oiled the fuck up, getting a back massage. And the rest of them are, like, talking, and the one of them just looks at him and is like, I don't like you. And...
yeah, and they just start, like...
They just argue.
Like... Yeah. And then it goes back to the woman getting oiled and, like, massaged. And yeah. they're kind of quabbling.
Yeah.
But
they're just, like, angry at each other for no goddamn reason. Oh, and then they bring, they're still squabbling, and then the door opens, and these two dudes walk in. Like, these two women bring these two dudes in at, like, gunpoint. And they're like, ooh, I want him. And she's like, you'll have him. But only for tonight. Because she wants him.
Yeah, it's like a reversal of, like, that.
That's what I commented on.
Like, have, like, a guy looking at a bunch of women.
Yeah.
Except it's a woman.
Well, what I commented on is that it's, like, all the fucking smut we've been watching. But they decided to, like, reverse the genders.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd have that scene of, like, a bunch of bikers being like, oh, yeah, I want her. But instead it's, like, a bunch of women in a fucking science fiction set.
Right. Is this where it goes back to Mike entering the hotel?
I believe
he gets approached by the one guy.
Son of a bitch. He gets approached by someone, and he
just instantly offers him like $10,000 with the check, like right at the hotel lobby.
Yeah, and he's basically hiring him to find the highlight player.
Yeah.
And then they go to where he was kidnapped from.
Yeah.
The carnival.
Yeah.
And there is a blind guy there begging.
Quote unquote blind guy.
So Mike has like a wad of money. He just drops it in front of him and then waits. And the guy picks up the money and then he like confronts him because he's like, I know you're not blind. And then the guy's like, okay, Jack, you got me. And then.
Are you American?
Yeah, and the guy's like, I saw this happen, and they took, it was a hearse, just the greatest actor. It's literally like if you found some guy on the street, and you put him in your movie. Okay, Jack, you got me.
I have guys on every corner in Manila.
Yeah, I've been on every corner of Manila. Just a random American homeless man in the Philippines, whatever. Mm-hmm.
He just said how he got stranded there because of a gun or something. I can't remember what he said exactly.
But he tells him that he read, like, the inscription on the side of the hearse.
Yeah.
And so...
It's, like, the...
Seashore... Some mortuary or something?
Yeah.
And then he goes to his friend and he asks him about it and he's like, do you know anyone who would know about this? And he's like, oh, yeah. Wonton Charlie. They go to meet Wonton Charlie, and it's like a graveyard, I guess. And he tells him some stuff, and then I don't even know why. Well, we know why later, but at first I was just like baffled. He betrays them.
Well, is this where he tells him to go to the? He tells him to go to the cockpit.
The cockpit.
And, like, says that, like, you'll find an old man who knows about the bones.
The human bones.
The human bones and stuff like this. And, like, and then, isn't this the part where he says the sex is a, what was it, the commodity one?
No.
When did he say that? Wasn't that? Remember when he says
sex
is a priceless commodity?
Because they're talking, like, he wants money for information, and then Mike tells him something like, well, yeah, the truth is a commodity, much like sex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The truth is a priceless commodity, much like sex. So, yeah, Wonton Charlie says, the truth is a commodity.
Yeah. And he gives him the information, they're going to leave, and then Wonton Charlie tells a bunch of these jackasses to, like, go kill them. So...
I absolutely love this scene.
Oh, it's great. And it's not even the best chase scene.
They're riding in their taxi, and all of a sudden, like, another taxi pulls up beside them, and the guy points a gun in at Mike, and seriously pulls the trigger, and you hear, pew, 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 like...
But then Mike jumps out of the back as it's moving and, like, rolls away and then runs off. He keeps running, and they're, like, going after him in their little, like... I don't know what you call them. They're like, they look like those motorcycles that have like the cab. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
But it's like even...
I think they have them a lot in Milan.
But it's like even smaller.
If you watched like The Protector, you see...
Yeah. But it's like even smaller than that.
Yeah.
And they're chasing him, but he turns around and out of fucking nowhere pulls out a big fucking gun.
It looks like a sawed-off shotgun and a handheld one.
Yes, and mind you, there is literally no room for him to hide that thing.
None at all. Like, it is huge.
He reaches inside of his shirt and pulls it out.
And then just like cocks it back, fires it, and both guys fall off.
Both of them fall off. And then he runs away again, and again another two guys.
And then he shoots it, and then
they fall off, and the thing explodes.
Yeah.
And one of the guys
runs into a cart and explodes.
And one of the guys is like rolling on the ground on fire.
Oh.
And
so then he runs out of ammo, and another same guys.
It's the same actors in a different, yeah.
Yeah, you see, what, like, four more guys on yeah. carts, but they're the same, it's like the same shot fucking, of them, like,
yeah.
driving down the same alleyway. And
they get out, and they start chasing him on foot. And they run around, like, these, I don't know what you'd call it, there's, like, these little buildings and stuff, and he hides behind a corner and smacks one of them in the fucking face with his giant gun.
Mm-hmm. And then chokes another one out.
Yeah. And he's done with that, and then you find out that his driver was just hiding under the taxi the whole time. Because he just gets to the taxi and sits down and, like, taps on it. He's like, okay, you can come out now. And then I'm like, what? And then you see the guy just, like, crawling out, like, oh, I was just checking the oil pressure.
And then they go to the cockpit, which is literally the cockfighting rings.
Yes.
Because,
you know, this movie wasn't sleazy enough. We had to get an actual cockfight.
And we get, like, a lot of minutes of a cockfight. Like, yeah. Like, I don't know if they really liked this shot of, like, an actual cockfight on screen.
In slow motion.
It seems wrong. It's so smutty. Like,
because it is wrong. But, I don't know, it's like, okay.
It's like, alright, we get it. It's a cockfighting ring. Stop showing,
yeah.
like, the...
It's like, okay, I get it. You filmed it in a country where you need, like, literally no fucking permits.
Exactly. But,
like, you needed that? Which we'll get to we'll get to, like, how, like, little, like,
it's permits and really oversight. It's not important, yeah.
No, it isn't. Because the whole point of the scene is they talk to this guy and he tells them about the island of 1,000 women.
And that's where the bones are coming from.
The human bones.
Yep.
So basically, I guess it's like you're supposed to think that the bodies that they're not using, they just throw them away and they wash up.
And there's like this kid that keeps following them around, right?
You saw him earlier.
He had like a slingshot and was like hurtling darts into other guys and stuff. And then they're talking to this old guy and like Mike gets up and is like, I'm going to go out, wait outside.
Yeah.
You take care of the old man or whatever. Yeah.
No, he's like, we should leave. Like, we should go outside.
Yeah.
And they stand up, and they're, like, telling the guy to come with them, and you find out that the kid, like, stabbed him with a fucking tiny knife in the throat, and he's dead. He is completely dead.
Yep.
Whatever. What happened after...
So they go back to a bar.
No. This is when we find out... We go back to the island of 1,000 women.
Oh, this is when Wanton Charlie is revealed to be a spy.
I don't know if that was this scene or another one, but I know that the scene that's next is when we find out about brain sex.
Oh, that's right, yeah, because now we go back and see what the women were fighting about
with
the men, and the leader is like you should do brain sex more, and then, like...
And they're like... And one of them's like, you might prefer brain sex, but some of us still prefer physical pleasure. And she's just like, physical pleasure is a weakness. Like,
there will come a day when there will not be the need for physical pleasure anymore.
Which, our brains might have exploded.
The fact that they even mention a way to have sex, like...
Well, don't you worry.
Through brain waves.
Don't you worry.
Oh,
because you gon' get it.
We gon' get it.
You gon' get it.
More like Mike gon' get it.
Oh, Mike. Mike deserves all the brain sex.
He really does.
Then we see an operation. I don't remember who.
I think they had one of the athletes on the table.
Yeah.
And then the old guy gets wheeled in, right?
Yeah. Pretty sure. And then they do that. It cuts back to Mike and his buddies. And they go to this hotel. It's like a bar.
And they order Mai Tais, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's not Thailand, but whatever.
Yeah, I know, right? It's not Thailand, but they order Mai Tais.
Whatever, Asia, who gives a fuck? Whatever. And...
I mean, we should give a fuck, but yeah, it's not...
Oh, well, I give all my fucks to this movie. And they're talking, and this woman walks in wearing a very, very short skirt. And Mike cannot stop staring at her legs.
Yep.
Cannot stop, and they make eye contact, and they kind of look at each other like, you know, like, oh, like, you know, you wanna...
And Mike is done telling this other guy, like, all the information that he needs to know. Like,
how... Alright, well, I need to relax a little bit. So
I've had a long day. I need to relax.
I'll see you guys later. And we're like, okay.
He grabs two Mai Tais and walks up to the bar.
And just sets one down in front of her. He's like, try this.
And then, like, looks down and is like, you got nice legs.
You got great legs.
You got great legs. But they're too long. She's I don't like long legs.
She's like, why? They get in the way. And she's like, well, we'll have to see about that, won't we? And then he, like, whispers something in her ear. And then she's like, well, we'll have to see about that, won't we? What do you think he whispered in her ear, Will?
I don't know. Let me take it from behind so your legs don't get in the way. I have no idea.
Whatever it was, we know it was the smoothest shit ever. Because Mike... Oh, Mike.
He gets it.
Mike is a god amongst men, and we should all strive.
James Bond's swagger has nothing on Mike's swagger.
Mike's swag in the scene is so good that he had to whisper it to her, because if he said it out loud, our brains could not handle
it. Even my panties would have dropped if he said it out loud.
So whatever he said to her, we know it was so...
So goddamn smooth that no matter what sexual orientation you are, you would have had a boner.
Yes. He basically won the movie from this point on, if you think about it.
He really did.
Mm-hmm. So, then
we get a scene of him, like, waking up in bed.
Yeah, they had sex. Shocking. Yeah.
His, like, pants are undone, and he's just laying on a bed.
He's laying there, like, he is laying in bed like nothing happened. That's the best part, is he's so swag, he doesn't even give a fuck. He's just laying there, like, oh, yeah. Mm.
And she, like...
She's putting on her bra, and she, like, walks up and starts awkwardly kissing him.
And he's like, you're so, like... You're so unpredictable.
Yeah.
And she's...
No, that's later. So, she starts talking. She's like, you're a really amazing man. Truly unforgettable. And then she pulls out a gun from her purse and points at him. And he's like, honey, you're unpredictable. He's like, actually, I'm very predictable. I never miss. He takes a pillow.
And guards himself with the pillow. And the bullet just goes into the pillow and not nowhere
else.
And
he starts smacking the shit out of her with a pillow.
Yep.
And then we find out that she knows kung fu, and she...
Oh, the best kung fu.
Oh, this scene is so good.
So she's, like, putting her hands in, like these open palm, like, weird, like, positions.
It is...
Like, yo, it looks like someone who doesn't know a thing about kung fu trying to do kung fu.
It looks like a spoof.
It really does.
She, like, spreads her legs out and starts, like, doing, like, these open palm moves at him, and it's just... It's ridiculous, but it's great because she, the shots are so fucking awkward.
And then she tries to do, like, a flying kick and, like, lands on the bed.
Yeah, so she misses him, and you see her in the back, and she just flies. She falls from the top of the frame down on the bed.
On the bed.
Just, like thud on the bed.
Oh, my God.
And there's tons of shots of, like, her, like, you know, like, kicking him, and he'll fly back, and he punches her. And eventually, she, like, kicks him so hard, he fucking smashes through the door. Then she kicks him through a fucking, like...
Like a room divider.
A room divider. Every object in the room gets broken.
And then she kicks him onto a couch, and he's like... Oh, no, sorry. He kicks her onto the couch, and she, like, falls back. And then he's, like, standing above her, and she like... Literally,
headbutts him.
Like, headbutts him in the nuts. Like.
Yes. It's great.
And then runs away.
And then
we get the most brilliant chase scene.
He grabs his massive big fucking gun.
Yep.
And he, for no reason other than our own entertainment, as he chases after, he, for some fucking reason, falls down the goddamn stairs.
But I love this scene because you can clearly tell it's his stunt double.
Yes.
Like, very clearly. But it, like, actually shows the face.
For no reason.
Yeah, he just falls down the stairs.
And it's like a long stairway.
And then he gets up on the frame and, like, just, like, brushes his shoulder off, like, and then just starts running like nothing happened.
Like, James Bond style, just gets up and, like, kind of tidies up a little, just takes off.
Yeah, just takes off. And then we get the best chase scene on the planet.
Oh, my God.
She's, like, running through, like, busy streets.
He tells the taxi driver to, like, follow him.
Yeah.
And she's running through, like, this marketplace, and he's chasing after her, and there's, you know, you see all these shots of them running and running, and there's also this one shot where they're going down, like, this pedestrian, like, overpass. And he, like, pushes one guy off of it, remember?
Oh, yeah, and he falls on and, like...
And he falls onto, like, a table. It's great.
And then, like, the shop owner gets mad at the guy that fell on the shop.
He's like, how fucking dare you?
And then...
She keeps chasing her, and...
And then she goes into, like, a busy, crowded, like, street with a bunch of cars, and, like, takes a guy out of this, like, bus. It wasn't a bus. It was, like, one of the taxis.
It's, like, they're, like... I don't know how you'd explain it. They're like...
They look like Jeeps.
They're big enough to fit multiple people, but they're like completely open air. Like there's no windows or or
glass. It looks like a Jeep that you extended and then put like a cab on the back.
Yeah, there's like room for like...
But like two benches.
Yeah, there's room for more than one person. It's like a mini bus.
So she punches one guy out of the bus and like gets in it and like starts...
With the passengers.
Starts driving...
With the passengers.
And the passengers at first don't even care.
At first they don't care. Whatever. Then they start freaking out. And then he sees the taxi driver and he picks him up and then he gets in the back and they chase.
Oh, yes.
And I will admit, I quite enjoyed this chase scene.
They're like running into fruit carts, running into like podiums, running into a guy that apparently wasn't even supposed to be hit.
Well, because there's a ton of shots in this where there's, like, people, like, just barely missing the car.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing what that shot was, he was supposed to, like, jump out of the way at the last second, and he didn't. Mm-hmm. Because the shot is, like, the camera's mounted on the right side of the car, and they're, like, going and going really fast, and you see this guy, like, in front, and it like, hits him, and he flies back.
And actually hit him. I thought it was a stunt double, but it's not.
In the trivia, it said that he wasn't supposed to get hit.
Yeah.
And it said that he was fine, but still, like, I was like, holy shit, that's an awesome stunt, but no.
Then our favorite part is when, like,
eventually the passengers start freaking out, and they start jumping off. Mm-hmm. And, like, as it's moving, you see people, like, jumping off and hitting the ground. Pretty, like, good stunt work, but one of my favorites was one of them literally jumps off, and... He gets, like, a running jump, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
But he can't stop himself from running. So he, like, hits this window of this building.
And smashes through it.
And you see the inside. He flies through the inside and, like, over a table. It's fucking awesome.
My favorite part in this chase scene is when they go past the guy and he has to stop short. And then the bus behind him, like dumps stuff on top of him.
Yeah, it's like, they drive across one of those, like, dividers in the middle of a road. And, yeah, this small car stops, like, abruptly, and the bus has all these fruits on top of it. So the bus stops, and all of them, like, tumble off.
And then the bus driver gets out, and they start, like, the driver that stops short and the bus driver start fighting.
They start fighting.
They show, like, them fighting for a minute.
It's fucking great.
It's hilarious.
There's another part where they're driving on the bridge, and these people, like, they're about to hit these people. And instead, the people just jump off the bridge into the water.
Yeah, it's great.
It's great. And like there's this cop in like this booth in the middle of the road, and he at the last second jumps out and they run over the booth.
And they're like running into each other and stuff and like serpentine like pattern
and then like they get this end part and there's like this cart and one of them runs into it, like just runs right through the cart and then fucking like over a hill and into like a little lake.
Yeah. So the taxi driver parks and Mike gets out and like goes to the riverbed.
Yeah.
And the girl gets up and like inaudibly, like doesn't have
her
audio.
She's just screaming at him.
It looks like she's saying fuck. Like, yes. What the fuck? What the fuck? Like, you know, but like you can't hear anything.
Yeah.
And I don't know why they chose to like edit out that. but
because Will, they needed to get the PG rating.
So Mike,
because clearly this movie is so PG rated with those tits.
Very much so.
I don't know. Like if she was saying fuck, I don't know why the hell they would have to edit it out. Like,
I have no idea either.
Were they really trying to go for like a non-R rating with this fucking thing?
If so, there's lots of nudity.
If so, it's like you would have to delete everything.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing in this movie is like age appropriate.
No. So Mike grabs her hand and like it cuts to like her in the shower, her in the tub.
She's just sitting in the tub like all pouty. And I'm just like, what? And he's like, okay, you've been in there for like an hour. Get out of here. It's like, she's just been like sitting in the tub like a fucking like brat.
And then he like,
what?
He like gets her out.
Fucking kidding me?
Sits her down and is like, all right, I want to know who you are. Where
who you work for?
Who you work for?
And where you come from?
And why did you try and kill me?
No, it's like, I want to know why you tried to kill me, who you are, and where you came from.
Mm-hmm.
And then immediately after it says that it cuts to the island.
Yep.
The island of 1,000 women. And I believe this is where... Yeah, this is where they're on a little canoe.
Oh, right, yeah.
It's supposed to be an island in the middle of the ocean, and we're supposed to believe that they canoed
to the
across the ocean.
On this little tiny canoe.
On this tiny canoe.
Like a three-man canoe.
Yeah. They get there. The taxi driver who we never see again, sadly.
I know.
I wish. But if they gave us our fucking franchise, we might.
Yeah.
Motherfuckers. We'll talk about that later.
So
he's like, you know what? I'll stay here. I'll keep watch. And then Mike looks around and sees that the woman that they brought with them
escaped. It's gone. Yep. And then the taxi driver says the most like no shit Sherlock, mm-hmm. like way too late line of, wow, you should really keep your eye on her.
Yeah.
After she's gone.
She's very suspicious. It's like, oh, really?
Well, really, because she's already fucking gone. Who cares about that now?
She knows Kung Fu and she tried to kill him. You think? It's great. And she goes back to the island. She tells them and the leader, whatever her name is like pissed off. And she's like, well, we'll get him. And they send out all these women into the woods to look after him and,
they keep missing. I don't know how they keep missing because he's right in front of them the entire time. Because he's
fucking Mike.
He's Mike, the insurance investigator.
They're way too fucking enthralled by his manly man musk.
I mean, I was.
I was too. I could feel the musk through the TV screen.
And he keeps taking out his giant gun and like, you know, shooting.
The best part is he's like hiding in the grass.
One of them.
And she turns around and he just jumps out of the grass. Shoots her with his big fucking gun, and she like flies back.
Mm-hmm. Like a surprise motherfucker moment.
Surprise motherfucker.
And then,
and then he keeps running, and eventually they surround him. They take his gun, and he just kind of like laughs it off, like "ha ha, good one, like good job, you got me." It's like, yeah, you can't fuck with Mike.
Nope, you can't. And then he goes,
can't phase him.
So they take him.
This is where it turns into a Bond movie.
They take him back to the lair.
Like a Bond movie?
Like a Bond movie.
And he has dinner with the villain like a Bond movie.
The villain starts explaining her entire plot about...
Well, first, yeah, like, he sits down to have dinner with them, and the assistant finance guy from earlier is there.
He's wearing, like, a Dracula, like...
He's dressed like fucking Austin Powers.
Yeah, like a frilly t-shirt, like a frilly, like, button-up shirt. And like a really...
A purple tuxedo.
It's like a dark purple, shiny tuxedo. It's weird.
And a walk... And like a cane.
He looks like a fucking vampire. Like a disco vampire.
Yeah.
Like
I was waiting for him to start dancing.
Me too.
If only.
So she's talking about how she can transplant any human... Like,
any part of a human. And he's like... He's like, any part? She's like,
any part.
Oh, shit!
So she, like, tells him to eat, and he says no, but then he starts eating, and she explains her whole plot. And then she gives him a tour of the facilities.
Like a Bond movie.
Yep. Tours, like, through the organ donation chamber, where she's keeping all the organs, like, kept in the pool. Like, and, like, how she's keeping them alive, like, for the transplant and stuff. And then,
she takes him to, it's like a... to see the failures.
Oh, yes.
So it's all the operations that went bad.
Oh, this is
and beautiful. They're all in, like, a fucking prison type place. There is a guy who's has a fucking... He's a cyclops.
Has a mask.
He has one eye.
Yeah, it's a cyclops mask on.
That's the first failure. There's a guy who is, like, a fucking cannibal. There's another guy who she says his brain is from a monkey. And then there's, this really tall black guy who just has a fucking, like...
A dome on his head with the brain inside of
it. Has a dome on his head. The brain, you see the brain open, and there's a fucking light bulb peeking out of the brain.
Yep.
What the fuck is wrong with him? I have no goddamn clue.
And if that didn't set the mood enough, don't worry. After this, she shows him brain sex.
She takes him. She's like, I know you're really going to like the next thing. And,
They should have started...
Literally, Will, the 90% of the movie is...
Oh, yeah, really upbeat, like,
really
funk music.
Yeah, funk music and occasional, like, bow, chicka, like, yeah. So she takes him in, she tells him it's brain sex. You put on these things.
And Mike is so eager to put on these things. He's like, he's just like, you know, he didn't want to eat, he didn't want to see the
he'll have sex,
but he, like...
Well, he'll have sex twice in one day now. Okay? Because he already had sex before.
He was ready.
And now, he can do it without even taking his clothes off?
Oh,
shit.
And you can tell he enjoys it.
Oh, no, his facial expressions are just...
It's fucking beautiful.
Because they put it on and they start doing it, and she's, like, kind of...
She keeps, like, awkwardly opening her eyes and then closing them real tight.
Whereas Mike is just, like, he's, like...
He is in, like, the throes of pleasure.
Oh, God.
Like,
he is in it.
He is so into this, like, brain sex. Like, he's, just, like, moving around all over the place and, like, you know, like, making all these weird faces. And I'm just, like, wow.
And then she takes it off because, like, there's some... She has to do something. And he's... It was...
No, remember, they, one of the, people on the gurney, like, starts, like, freaking out and, like, starts patting his chest and, like, shaking.
Yeah.
And they have, like, an emergency, so the girl has to leave.
And he is... It was... The brain sex was so good, he faints.
He faints from the brain sex.
And she goes, and then she tells them to, go, like, kill the woman that was supposed to bring him from earlier.
Right.
And I don't...
Don't we get the next, like, really good kung fu action scene between the woman and the
The blonde one was supposed to kill her. They go out, and she just, like, they immediately start fighting.
In the most awkward kung fu sequence I've ever seen
glorious.
In my entire life.
My favorite part is they just do, like, rolls
they
for
just
no reason.
They fumble around. Like, they fumble, like, hitting each other, and
like
they
they'll kick each other, and, like, they just fly back as if they got fucking smashed by a car.
Well, sometimes when they kick each other, it's like that flying kick again, but they just fumble onto the ground.
Yeah.
Like, it just... Because it's so awkward.
Almost as if they don't actually know kung fu well.
Neither did the person directing this movie.
Shocking.
No one knew
how
to do kung fu.
That's the best part. And yeah, they fight, and there's this fucking, like, goofy ass shot where it's like filming upwards and she just jumping over the camera back and forth, remember?
Oh yeah.
I guess it's supposed to look like, you know, she's trying to jump on her because one of them's on the ground, but it's just goofy as hell.
Then the girl finally gets the upper hand. Does she kill the girl?
She karate chops her to death.
Yes.
Literally.
Yeah.
We never see her again. Open palm, just karate chop. She dead. She takes her gun, and then this woman, like, comes out, like, I want to help you. I want to help you. Like, I'm going to go free Mike. I'm going to go free the dick man.
So she goes free Mike, and she tells the other lady to go free all the, like, mistakes.
The mistakes, and at that point, we're like, oh, shit.
And at this point, the villain, the main woman of the...
He's in the middle of an operation.
She's operating on the old man. She's trying to do the transplant between the highlight player and the...
Yeah.
The old man.
Yes.
So she's transplanting the eyes first.
The woman opens up the jail cells. The... mistakes walk out, and the alarm starts going off, and this woman is like, we keep seeing her. She's like a fucking announcer. And she's just like, red alert, red alert. There is a jailbreak. And the woman's like, I can't do that now.
Yeah, close the door. Lock the doors. So she keeps...
That'll help you.
She keeps operating. And then the other girl goes and frees Mike. Mm-hmm.
Don't forget, Austin Powers is, like, leaving.
Yeah, we just see a bunch of sequences of him, like, just, like, leaving with his cane on his shoulder.
All and, fucking, like, swag.
Carrying, like, a briefcase, just, like, walking down the hallways.
Yeah.
Just, like, swag as fuck.
With his fucking, like...
Like,
And then and there's all these like scenes of
Scenes of Mike like falling to the ground and shooting all these like women.
He'll get like surrounded by them and he just drops to the fucking ground like instantly and like, just shoots them.
Goes prone and just like shoots them all.
All of them.
Because they can't hit him. Like, we should also mention.
Oh yeah, number one, they can't hit him. We should also mention that they all have the same outfit. And it's like imagine someone wearing just a shirt and panties.
That's it.
That is all of them.
That's all they're wearing.
Yep. Classy.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, like, can you tell this movie's classy from all we've said?
Oh, it's the classiest production. It's so classy, I want to get like a fucking, you know, I want to drink this beer with my fucking pinky out.
Me too.
That's how classy it is.
Too classy.
We're going to be better people after this.
So, we get a bunch of shots of Mike going prone, shooting a bunch of women.
Murdering a bunch of women.
Like, taking out his giant gun and, like, firing
He eventually gets his giant gun back, which is important.
And then we get a scene of, like, the mutants.
Attacking women.
They attack women. They like, drink blood on one of them.
One of them, like, bites her on the neck.
And then the big black guy takes one of the women, like, starts walking off with her. And Austin Powers, motherfucker... Like, waits for him to come around the corner and pulls out, like, a cane sword.
And stabs him in the back. And
stabs him in the brain.
And we don't see what happens with either her or him, and we'll know why.
Oh, yeah.
So, Mike goes back to the operating room, presumably looking for the leader.
With his giant-ass gun right near his crotch.
I mean...
The entire scene... His giant phallic-shaped gun is right near his crotch the entire time.
Well, you don't understand. The penis is the gun.
Mike exudes too much masculinity for this.
The message of this movie is that his dick is the gun.
Yes.
And that it defeated evil. That's the point. Because the whole reason the woman decided to help him in the first place was because... It was too good.
Yeah.
That's the message. And he can't find her. She is, like, upstairs.
In that announcer booth.
And she's like, he points a gun at her. She's like, it's useless. This glass is bulletproof. And I'm just like, well, how fucking convenient that you're operating room for some reason has bulletproof glass.
Just in case this ever happened,
I guess. Just in case some man with a fucking dick gun walks in and wants to shoot you.
That you had mind sex with earlier that day.
And she's just like, may have won this time, but, like, for anyone with great minds, like, we cannot escape our destiny. And then,
just a poof, like someone just, like threw a flour bag on the floor and just like a puff of smoke.
And it's like, we're just like, what?
Holy shit.
Fucking just like David Copperfield herself.
At that moment, my mind was like, is there a franchise here?
No.
I wish there was.
But!
I want there to be a fucking
After this, it cuts to like a different country, presumably Japan for some fucking reason.
It looks like Japan because they keep showing like pagodas and...
Yeah, it's like a pagoda and there is this, of course... This woman in a bikini, and you see her slowly walking up to the pagoda. She gets in the pagoda, and there's, like, these two guys talking in the distance. And you see that it's Mike and the guy who hired him.
Yep. And he's the guy who hired him. Oh, we should say the highlight player made it out, but without his eyes.
They got the highlight player out. I don't know why the fuck they took his eyes.
I don't know. They were transplanting his eyes when they saved him, I guess.
Whatever.
But anyway, so the guy...
So he gets his money.
And then the Mike goes and sits down and is like...
Well, yeah, because the other guy is trying to convince him to go and do another job.
Yeah.
And Mike is just like, he's like touching the woman next to him. He's like, you know what, he's like, I'm gonna need like three. And he looks at her and she kind of holds her hands up with like, you know, four fingers. And he's like, 4 weeks until I'm fully rested.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy's like, well, okay, well, don't say I didn't try. And he leaves, and then Mike is just kind of flirting with her. And
she asks about chess.
She's like, do you play chess?
He's like, yes. Chess?
She's like, do you want to play chess? She's like, yes. I want to. I want to.
Play.
Play. And then, I want to. And then, but the way she says I want to is just like, oh, for fuck's sake. I want to.
God.
You ever, yeah.
And then the next shot is her stroking a stem of a pear.
Oh!
And then she, like, strokes
please,
the pear.
Please, hold on. Hold on. Because I want to emphasize this scene because it's just art.
It's too sexual.
It's too good. Okay? Yes, she is stroking a pear stem. And then she moves on and starts stroking one of the chess pieces.
Yep. And then they just start awkwardly staring
at
each other.
And they start staring
at
each other and playing chess. And at the same time she's playing chess, she's like rubbing her lip.
With one of the chess pieces.
Yeah, like rubbing her lip. And then she's
playing with her hair.
Playing with her hair and like rubbing her leg. Have you ever seen, have you ever seen Thomas Crown Affair? The 60s one?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, there's a scene where they're playing chess, and it's sort of like this.
But way... filmed way better?
Well, it's filmed better, but it's, like, it's way more subtle. Whereas in this, she is just... anything that stands up, she strokes.
Yeah, anything that even...
anything.
Even remotely
also,
resembles
mind you,
dick.
Again, if we're talking, like, being obvious, she's wearing a bikini for this whole scene.
Yeah.
Whole scene. They start kissing and making out... and suddenly a gong, boom, bang. And then it's and the Wonder Women.
The blonde one like comes through the doorway and is like, "How's it going, Mike?" And like the woman that was playing chess with them like lays back on the chase lounge. And then it, like,
all these women,
does a shot around the room and they're all like in these like weird poses and like there's this like black one with an afro just like.
Doing like these open palm,
doing these
kung
open
fu
palm
things.
Kung fu things, like moving around a lot. One of them's holding a gun.
The blonde one is holding his big fucking gun.
His dick gun.
And then he kind of looks around the room with like this dopey look on his face.
And then he looks directly at the camera. Like, he almost looks like he's cross-eyed at this point.
Well, it's funny because like he's not like upset.
No,
that's the funniest part.
It looks like he's smiling almost.
In this scene, it's like he's smiling.
Yeah,
he's just like looking at him, like smiling.
He has the dumbest look on his face.
Oh, it's
at this
great.
Point. It's...
Mike is so swag. Even when all of these women are there, he still is not going to be like, you know what?
It's
you got
he's
me.
Surrounded by beautiful women.
Yes, he's just thinking, oh shit.
Oh shit.
More women.
More
oh, my
for
God.
Mike. More for Mike.
More for Mike.
It's
never enough for Mike.
So he looks directly at the camera with his dopey ass look.
And then you hear a flashback from earlier when the woman's like, "For brilliant people. We cannot escape our destiny." And then, cut to credits. And I want to, where is my Wonder Woman franchise?
I want a Wonder Woman 2 and 3. I want more Mike.
I want more Mike. I want more of Mike going into...
We want more Mike.
I want more of Mike going into countries that have no filming regulations. And, making crazy movies.
I just want the fucking, like, just him carrying around this big-ass handgun.
That he just has in his shirt.
That he just has in his shirt and just shooting.
It's so good that, like, you don't see it at all in his shirt. But, man, when he has to pull it out, it just shows up.
Oh, yeah. So I don't know if I have to ask this because we've kind of gone over it. But what are your final thoughts on the film?
Oh, I enjoyed this quite a bit.
I thought it was fun.
It's stupid and it's... It's not a good movie, but it's all done, like, pretty tongue-in-cheek, I'd say.
I would argue it kind of has its charm.
Like, especially, like, the main actor. Like, his performance is very tongue-in-cheek. And it's not like, he's not taking it, like, super seriously.
I don't think anyone takes their role super seriously.
Yeah, and it's all pretty goofy, so it kind of makes it easier to enjoy.
It almost reminded me of, like, a Roger Moore James Bond film.
Yes.
Just, like, a ridiculous, like, James Bond plot where
yeah.
they just
No, I enjoyed it. I mean, it's still a bad movie.
Oh, no, it's not. I mean, it's not good. Get us wrong.
I will defend those Roger Moore movies for their filming quality.
Yeah.
But this is not actually a good movie. However, it's fun.
It's so bad it's entertaining. That's what I would argue. Like,
and it's got, again, it's tongue-in-cheek. Acting's pretty tongue-in-cheek. Some goofy-ass lines. And I genuinely enjoy that goofy fucking chase scene.
Oh, it was terrible, but I loved it.
It's great. Lots of stunts, and even a stunt that wasn't supposed to be a stunt.
Yeah, it was great.
Because we've seen some bad car chase scenes in this thing.
Not bad, I would say horrendous.
Look, I mean, this very actor was in a movie that had a horrible car chase.
He dropped a motorcycle on a guy's car.
Yeah, well, he just zigzagged back and forth, and they couldn't shoot him.
Mm-hmm.
With a shotgun.
I can't hit him. Yeah.
Go back this side. I can't hit him.
Oh, but
yeah, this is a million times better.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so that was Wonder Woman from 1973.
Did you say your final thoughts?
I think we kind of are in agreeance. I think I don't know if I need to say mine because you pretty much said what I wanted.
Unless there's
to say.
Some specific thing you want to mention.
No, just that actually I kind of enjoyed this and I didn't think I would.
Oh, I didn't either.
But not from again, the first 7 minutes.
I was enjoying the first 7 minutes, but I was definitely hoping that it was going to make sense at some point.
Right.
Because at first I was like, okay, this isn't bad, but I hope they fucking tell us what's happening. And they did.
Yep.
And it's fucking stupid and ridiculous. But you know what? At least they did, because they could have just as well not have.
I guess my final thoughts is, I usually don't say this, but if you like crummy, like terrible movies that you can just sit back and enjoy with a bunch of friends... please watch this movie.
Look, let's put it this way. There are more, like, expensive action movies from recent years that I found more boring and dull than this thing.
You will not be, like,
you're not going to be, like, bored and it's not... Yeah.
I mean, it's only an hour and 21 minutes. So, yeah. But you're not going to be bored. You're not going to be checking the time. We didn't...
And it goes by pretty fast.
Yeah, it does.
It really does.
I thought it was entertaining. It's terrible, but it's entertaining.
It is. So kudos.
Yeah, so that was Wonder Woman 1973. If you do want to watch it, they do have a remastered version. I don't know why they remastered it, but I'm glad they did.
It is remastered, but it's...
still kind of
I would
crummy.
Not call it HD.
No.
And the audio quality in particular is... you have to, like, really fucking listen.
We were almost at, like, what? Like, 75?
You almost turned your TV all the way up. You really have to listen to, like, hear it. So I can only imagine how bad this thing looked before the remaster.
You can rent it, because there is one rent option. But
yeah.
But we watched a free one on YouTube, and I'll link it in the description. But, man, what a ride.
What a ride.
That was a good way to start 1973.
Props. Kudos.
Mike. Whoever made the character of Mike, just make more Wonder Women. I want to see Wonder Woman 2.
You know what? Is this actor still alive?
I want to see Wonder Woman 2.
If this actor's still alive, we should just have a fucking Kickstarter.
Yeah. Wonder Woman 2.
Wonder Woman
2. Wonder Woman 2. We want a fucking franchise.
I don't care. He's like 80 years old now. I don't give a shit.
I want a franchise.
I want my franchise. There's like 7 Transformers movies and 1 Wonder Woman.
That's a shame.
And the fact that it ends on a goddamn cliffhanger.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they really thought this was going to be a franchise.
I guess they did.
Which is fucking hilarious to me. Like, you make this movie and you really think to yourself, this thing, this is going to be a hit. And people are going to love it so much, they're going to want more.
I mean, I want more, but for the wrong reasons.
I want more, but I can't imagine, like, can you imagine seeing this thing in the theater?
No, I'd be pissed.
Are you sure?
I'd be entertained, but I'd be mad that I spent money on it.
We'd be like the only two people in the theater just laughing our asses off.
Yep, I think we'd be the only two people in the theater after the movie was over.
Yes. People would walk in and walk out in like 5 minutes and be like, oh, what the fuck?
We hate ourselves that much that we would actually just stay for the whole thing.
We stay for the whole thing and then we'd leave and tell everyone, man, you gotta see this shit.
You mean like we're doing now?
Because this is the greatest movie ever.
You gotta see this shit.
This is better than The Godfather.
I implore you to watch this. And if you want to talk about it in the Facebook comments, please. I would love to chat with you guys about this. Anyway, that was Wonder Woman from 1973.
Wonder Women.
Wonder Women. Did I say woman?
Yes.
Wonder Women from 1973.
Wonder Woman ripped this movie off.
Yep, it did. And yeah, that's been the episode, I guess. So anyway, this has been Will.
This has been Alex.
And we will talk to you all later.
Talk to you very soon.
Yes.
Hi-ya.